This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Sister Thea Bowman is remembered for her dedication to civil rights and celebration of the Black community within the Catholic Church. She was the first African-American member of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration in La Crosse and continued to set new firsts within the Catholic Church until her death in 1990. Recently, the FSPA joined Bowman's home diocese in Jackson, Mississippi, in calling on the church to recognize Bowman. And last month, the U.S. Catholic bishops voted unanimously to open an investigation to consider her for sainthood. Joining us today to talk about this effort are Sister Eileen McKenzie, president of the FSPA, Sister Rochelle Petrosky, a member of the organization and a former colleague of Bowman's, and Dan Johnson Wilmot, a music professor at Viterbo University and a former colleague of Bowman. So the U.S. bishops, as I mentioned, voted in November to open the cause for canonization. Sister Eileen, I know you were there. I mean, what was that event like?
Oh, it was overwhelming in many ways. It was a sacred time. You could tell that the diocese itself took a lot of pride and meaning in what Thea's life and her ministry and her spirit offered to the church. And there were people from all over the diocese, but also in all areas, I would say, where Thea had had a touch. So there were students from schools that were named after Thea, you know, after her death. So Sister Thea Bowman's schools are in many places, and there were students who were 7 and 8 years old who were there from Sister Thea Bowman's schools. There were students of Sister Thea Bowman who were just active in their communities in so many different ways, particularly in civil rights areas. There were people in the church pews who knew her, who grew up with her, and there were people who were there, who were just inspired by her and kind of, I would say, mentored by her in many ways, such as Father Maurice Nutt, who is one of the promoters of her cause.
Yeah, and just for a little bit of background for people not familiar with the Catholic Church or the canonization process, mm-hmm. you know, I wonder if you could talk about how common is it for the Catholic Church to open an investigation like this?
Yeah. It's not very common. and the gift of saints in the Catholic Church is that it holds up members of the church community who offer hope and sanctity and witness to the Christian values that the church espouses, and particularly those messages that are needed considering the signs of the times. And so Sister Thea's unanimous approval from the bishops was actually at the same time that the bishops have declared again that racism is a sin, and they have a whole pastoral letter on the sin of racism and the way that it's infecting our society, and the impact of that in violence and systemic injustice is something for us to be really considering and for us to be praying about and for us to take take some movement in. And so that Sister Thea Bowman's life is being held up to scrutiny during this time formally within the Catholic Church is very meaningful and not common.
I definitely want to dig into more of the message behind this later in the hour or in the half hour. But, you know, first I just want to talk about kind of who Sister Thea was. And I wonder if Sister Rochelle, you can talk a little bit about, you know, where Sister Thea came from and when she joined the FSPA.
Okay. She joined the community, and I reflect on that now because when she came, she was the only Black person in community. And for me, observing her as this little white girl, I was a little older than she, but I really had never seen a Black person. We did not have Black people in La Crosse, people of color. And so I think of her coming, you know, from the distance, coming from Canton, Mississippi, just revved up to be a Franciscan sister. And coming here, and we really, you know, I don't think we really understood. I didn't. That, you know, we just served food, and she had to eat what we ate, which was very uncommon to her, I think, in many ways. She followed our schedules, And she was always wanting to be, you know, out having a good time and enjoying people, even though she was very structured in her own manner of seeking to become a religious woman. It's hard to say that, you know, here's Thea going to be a saint, because she was like so many of us in ways like, you know, we wanted to be prayerful and beautiful and godlike, but we all had our own tricks, and she had a whole pocket full of tricks to try on people. you know, so we rubbed elbows with her every day, but she was that true blue kind of person. You always knew exactly what she was thinking, and if you didn't know it, she would tell you, Rochelle, this is what we're going to do now, not what you're thinking. Okay. As she entered community, she was really a gift to us, and I think that's what I would say about that experience. As she went to Viterbo, at that time she also had TB, so she was in a sanitarium for like two, three years. And that put her, you know, in another whole place where she did not know anybody.
What impacts do you think she had on the La Crosse community?
Well, she had a lot, but it took time. She was going to be teaching at one of the schools in La Crosse, and when the people in the parish found out that she was black, they were not willing to have her in their school. You know, and Thea was probably one of the best teachers we've ever had in education. And so I admire our president at that time, was Sister Patricia Alden. So she went to the parish meeting and said, well, you know, if you choose not to have Sister Thea, then that's fine. We will find another placement for her, but you will need to hire a layperson in her place. So they reneged and had her, and of course she was dearly loved and respected. But that's kind of what La Crosse was all about. We were not warm and opening to people of other cultures. We still have a problem with that, but we certainly were not then.
Yeah, Sister Eileen, I wonder if, how you think, you know, Sister Thea kind of helped open up maybe the La Crosse community to, changing their ideas and confronting some of that racism.
Yeah, I think that, you know, some of the stories that Sister Rochelle has just shared, at a very personal level, who she was as a person and just how she interacted and the systemic racism that she had to endure within the Catholic Church with that and within our educational system, within our little cross civic community. Those are all these personal pieces. And then I think I never knew Sister Thea. I've only known her story and her history and what I've learned from what she's left in this legacy, in a sense. And what I can see is that she, just through by being who she was, she made inroads, she made an impression, she made, you know, these small circles, I would say, of influence. And then she had a time in her life where she left La Crosse. That's where she got her doctorate at Catholic University. And at that point, I think she also went through this coming to know her Black Catholic identity and having freedom in a place that was much more integrated, a society that, you know, to discover that, to just own it. And then coming back to La Crosse and teaching at Viterbo gave her a different platform to share that. And she shared that, I think, again in her personal realm from the stories that I've heard, but she also shared it through her teaching, through her witnessing, through her speaking engagements. And she started to become you know, a larger spokesperson for the Black Catholic community, for Black Catholic women religious, and that was in La Crosse, but that just kind of spiraled out to other parts of the nation.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about Sister Thea Bowman, a deceased member of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration, who's being considered for sainthood within the Catholic Church. We're here with Sister Eileen McKenzie and Sister Rochelle Petrosky from the FSPA, and a former colleague of Bowman, Professor Dan Johnson Wilmot from Viterbo University. As you mentioned, Sister Eileen, you know, Bowman taught at Viterbo University, and I believe that's how you knew her, Dan. And I wonder if you could share, you know, what she was like as a professor.
Well, I think the students that had her for their English classes will say that she was really tough. She expected, I think her philosophy about learning was that if you were sitting in class and you were totally comfortable, you probably were not learning anything. That learning involved a little bit of feeling uncomfortable. And I often use that in my teaching to explain to my students that if you're learning new material, that's going to be, you might be frightened about new material. It might you know, shake you up a bit. And I think that kind of personifies Thea as I knew her. You can't talk about Thea without saying what a beautiful voice she had and how she was unashamed about singing anywhere. So I don't remember a talk that she gave where she didn't sing. And they were always religious songs, although she knew some others as well. And some of those were from her culture in Canton, Mississippi. And it's a culture I think she was really proud of. She called herself an old folks child, and that was pretty plain. I think when she was at Viterbo, when I knew her, I think the things that she did at Viterbo were to bring a group of African-American students on campus, and they had a house, actually, that they all lived in that was in where the parking lot is now for the Fine Arts Center. But they lived there. She established the Hallelujah Singers, which was an African-American choral group that sang primarily spirituals. So she had an impact on Viterbo. And I know when she left Viterbo because her parents were really ill. Her parents were elderly. She moved back to Canton. And I think it was especially at that time where she started to get involved in her own culture and with her people in Canton and in Jackson that her evangelical side, and I'll call it that, I hope I'm not mischaracterization. The sisters will correct me if I'm speaking something that's not true. But I think that's where she began that charismatic evangelical side. And I remember I was a good friend of hers, and Thea affectionately called me her little brother because she didn't have any brothers and sisters. And so I became the white sheep of the family. I use that. I hope it's not disrespectful. But we became good friends, and we both sang. We're very different from one another. Thea characterized herself as a rowdy, and I'm rowdy, so she shook things up, I think, like St. Francis, perhaps. And I think that she, if you want to see an example of that kind of activity, if you watch the video where Mike Wallace, the infamous interviewer, interviewed her, and it took her about three attempts, but she finally got him to say "Black is beautiful" on during the interview. Yes. And I understand that Mike Wallace was teased by all of his colleagues over that because she turned the tables on him on an interview, and that didn't happen to him very often. So that's the kind of work that she did. She could take a criticism and turn it around. She's very smart, very clever. Mm-hmm. Always a little step ahead of, she could lead, but always in a, what I would say a positive way. Everything about her was wanting to be positive and inclusive. So those are things that I learned and felt from her, and she is an amazing woman. I brought a copy of some of her music here, but some of her favorite things were "Go Tell It on the Mountain," "Mary Had a Baby," and she has some other songs like "Old Time Religion." And if you ever saw her with a group of students singing "Old Time Religion," there was always movement. There was always a face that reflected the text. And I directed the concert choir at that time at Viterbo, and we would often, when Thea was in town, she would have them sing. And boy, a half an hour rehearsal from her was about everything music had to do with, especially the face. And that's where she would really get after our students. You have to show emotion. You have to feel the music. You need to live the music.
Sister Rochelle, I wonder if you also have memories of her speaking engagements and just really sharing this gift of music she had.
I want to tell a story because he reminded me of that. When we were at Catholic University, and many of our sisters had gone there for years and years, and FSPA was known because there were so many of us. But we went to the first time Sister Thea was there. There were five of FSPAs there at the time. And so we went. They were going to have a gathering at night. They called it a hoot nanny in those days. So we were all sitting on the grass. You know, people were singing. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere in our minds, Thea jumps up and goes up to the front. We thought, what is she going to say or do? Because we really didn't know that she was this big singer at that time. So she got up in front, and she starts talking about Her grandmother was a hog caller, and her grandfather was a slave, and she was from Mississippi, and she was going to do some singing with them. So she got the whole group just completely in a second, just riled up in singing, and that's the first time that I had seen her get up and get the group going, total control. And then later, I went to Canton many times, and spent time with her mom and dad. Her mom was an English major, a teacher, and her father was a physician. And at that time, Canton, Mississippi was very segregated, so her father's office was in the black area. And if we went anywhere with Thea, even as a sister when we were in Catholic University, she would kind of crouch in the back so that nobody would see her with the white people. We did that all the time. We had to be that kind of protector. But, you know, she just had that sense of music and drawing people together at any time, and she certainly, you know, portrayed it that evening at the Hootenanny. We were just like, oh, Thea. It was a joy being with her those years.
Sister Eileen, you started talking earlier about how, you know, Bowman's cause for canonization at this time is really sending a message from the Catholic Church. And I wonder if you could dig more into, you know, what that looks like, especially here in FSBA in the work that you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. If you look at Thea's writings and any of the videos that are out here and you hear the stories, she does have this theme of total embodiment of spirit. You know, it was in her face. She lived it. She talked about how, you know, God gave us these bodies and they're to embody the spirit. So just this total embodiment and inclusivity that she was about bringing everyone to the table. If something is affecting someone, then they should be at the table to help make the decision. She spoke so much about in her heritage how the family was such a core, you know, piece of not only her formation but her culture. How, and it's not just the one little nuclear family. It's like she called herself an old folks child. You know, that, I mean, all of her aunts and uncles and grandmothers and grandfathers and things. So she really is holding these values of family and extended family and reaching out to other people who look different than we do and engaging them because they're gifts. She was always about the dignity of the person. Whoever you are, she would, you know, I am black, I am beautiful. She would say, I'm a child of God. You are a child of God. You might be white, you might be brown. But she would say, we are all dignified because we are children of God. And FSPA is echoing this, and we're amplifying this. We in fact just recently had our General Assembly, and we declared a revolution of goodness in which goodness needs to be claimed. It's something that's happening. There are so many things in our world that are happening. There's so much bad news, whether it's real news or fake news, whatever news it is, we need to focus on the good news, is what we would say. And some of what Thea's bringing us to in the goodness of each and every person, especially difference, the rich diversity that we have and how that just brings so much beauty and meaning to life. It's not to fear. We don't need to fear it. We don't need to push it away. We don't need to build a wall to protect ourselves around it. We need to engage it because they're gifts from God. And in that engagement, we get to be a little uncomfortable, as Dan was sharing. I mean, that message that she said about education, if you're not uncomfortable, you're probably not learning things. And so the sisters are engaging in some uncomfortable conversations about, all right, we are pretty white and we're pretty privileged, and what does that mean in this world? What is Thea calling us to kind of take a look at? And not only Thea, but what is our entire society calling us to look at in just who we are and how we influence others, often subconsciously or unconsciously? What norms do we have set up that we don't really even think twice about because we're not challenged by people who are different in asking the questions? So those are some areas that that we're reflecting on, just how this is happening in the larger church, how it's happening with FSPA, what it means for the La Crosse community, what it means in southwestern Wisconsin. We believe that whatever it is good, and it's unfolding, and so we're discerning how to best engage it and share the goodness of it.
Yeah, Dan, I mean, what do you think the greater La Crosse community can draw from Sister Thea's message and her life? I mean, you know, how can we apply those things to the greater community here?
Well, I think awareness is the first part of that. If we're unaware of our neighbors and of people who need things, people who are sick, people who are struggling with problems of addiction and those kinds of things, I think that is what the La Crosse community could learn from Thea's life and her work. Take a look at our friends. Who are our friends? Thea was very proud of her Asian friends, of her African American friends, her Native American friends. She had friends in every community and went sought them out and made sure that she had friends who represented different cultures. And we have other cultures in our own community, the Hmong culture. We have a growing African American culture in La Crosse. And so there are, I think maybe it's Thea's influence on us that these things are changing and that we are more aware now, I think, of our diversity, and I suppose that would be also religious diversity, and so she had friends in many cultures and churches and faiths and was proud of it.
Yeah, Sister Rochelle, how do you think Sister Thea has shaped the FSPA and the Catholic community here in La Crosse?
I think Sister Thea certainly has opened our eyes to people of other cultures. She has looked at the reality of, as Sister Eileen talked about, goodness. She always saw the good in others. Even though she'd say, oh, those poor folk, they don't know what they're doing, she was very conscious of who she was and what she wanted to promote in the world, just in her own being. I look at her and I say, it's amazing that she's going to be a saint. I mean, we could have said that years ago, but on the other hand, we would say, Thea, a saint? I mean, she was always out in the forefront doing things that some of us were afraid to do or say. So she truly is a leader, and I think the FSPAs are very proud of her.
And Sister Eileen, so this is only the first step in the canonization process, and I wonder if you could kind of fill us in of what happens next.
Well, right now they've opened the process. She was declared a servant of God in the springtime, and so now they are actually doing a series of studying her life, and that includes a historical commission as well as a theological commission. I'm not really sure what the timeline of that is. Everyone's a little curious about that, and there's so much diversity in the timeline throughout the Catholic Church, but we are are in the beginning stages, and at the stage where if everything goes well and they've studied these aspects of her life and she has been deemed to be beatified, then that will take place, and then it moves into a second phase where she would be canonized. I don't know as much about the intricacies of this because it is a very, very... you know, it's a well thought out and a very intricate process. A lot of people are involved in it. The Diocese of Jackson has taken the lead on it, and the promoter is one of her students, you know, Father Maurice Nutt. And we are walking in solidarity with them at each step of the way. But the theologians and the historians who are involved in this really don't have much of a personal history with Thea so that there can be objectivity in it. You hear our stories, and we have a personal meaning around this. And the church wants to hold up this, I guess, review of her life and be sure that it's it can be embraced by people all over, and not just the people who knew her.
Sister Eileen McKenzie is president of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration. She's here with us today to talk about Sister Thea Bowman, a deceased member of the FSPA who's currently being considered for sainthood within the Catholic Church. Also joining us have been Sister Rochelle Petrosky, a member of FSPA, and Dan Johnson Wilmont, a music professor at Viterbo University and a former colleague of Bowman. Today's outro music is an archival recording of Sister Thea Bowman. Coming up, we'll talk with the rabbi from La Crosse about the current climate for Jews in the La Crosse community. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers.